Well, hi, welcome to the Christian Contrast, where we talk about how walking with Jesus leads us to live differently than those in the world around us. And I'm here with a solo episode, and if you're a part of Life Bible Fellowship Church, you'll know that we just started into a sermon series through the book of Ephesians that we're doing on Sunday mornings. And so a lot of what we're going to be talking about, especially for the first three chapters of Ephesians, which we're going to be doing all of the summer of 2024, have to do with the whole subject of identity and where we find our identity and what it means to find our identity in Christ and not in other options. And this has always been a huge issue for human beings. We crave figuring out where we fit into the world. It certainly is a big issue now. And so I wanted to do a podcast episode that just sort of supports that theme and allows us to explore what are some competitors to finding our identity in Christ. So first of all, just sort of big picture, when we're talking about trying to figure out where our identity is, or what are the temptations for where we would place our identity, there's a few questions we can ask. One question we can ask is, what convinces me that I matter? Is it that I'm a parent? Is it that I have a job that has some status to it? Is it that I earn a certain amount of money? Is it that I get certain grades? Is it athleticism? Is it intelligence? There's all sorts of things. What tells me that I matter? And then the second question is, what tells me I'm going to be okay? We all have things in our lives that we wouldn't want to lose them, but if we lost them, we'd feel like, well, I'm okay. I'm okay in this. Maybe it has to do with a job where you'd say, all right, I certainly don't want to lose my job, but if I lost my job, I know I would be okay because, and then what's at the end of that sentence? And for many of us, it might be because my family still loves me. Ironically enough, there are some people that would feel like, hey, my wife could leave me or I could lose my family, but as long as I didn't lose my career, that's how I know I would be okay. So it's important for us to just look at ourselves and say, what is it that's convincing me that I matter? What is it that's convincing me that I'm okay? And then even within this, one of the things that I want to talk about is that we will settle for an identity that we kind of know isn't great as long as it tells us that we fit in. We are that much in a state of craving to know how we fit in that we'll accept something that's inferior. I'll tell you two quick stories of examples of this. I was years and years ago, I was a leader for a junior high group from the church I grew up at. So this was like when I was a college student. And I had missed one of the youth meetings, and it was the end of the year meeting, and they sort of gave off these like eighth grade superlatives, so sort of like you do the senior superlatives for your school, most likely to succeed, you know, most athletic, best looking, all those sorts of things. So they had done superlatives for all the graduating eighth graders, all the promoting eighth graders. And one of them came up to me, and he was like super excited about how the night had gone. So the next week, he was relating it back to me, and he said, they gave us all these awards. And then he said, you know what award I got? And he said, I got biggest moocher. And I was a little bit confused because obviously like being a moocher is not a compliment, but it was like, he's the one that if they were out to eat, he would always find a way to not buy his own stuff, but just mooch off other people. He would get rides. He would get in on things. And he was just grinning ear to ear over the idea that he had been given that identity in the group. Similar to this, you know, I could look at that junior hire and be like, that's kind of silly. Similar to this, at relatively the same time when I was in college, there was a group of us that were hanging out, and there was a group of friends that I spent a lot of time with. And one of them, his sister was coming into town, and so he was going to introduce his sister to all of us, this group of friends. And he was introducing her to all the different guys, and when it came to me, here's the words he used to introduce me. He said, this is my friend Dan. He's the most sarcastic guy I've ever met. And it's funny because when I tell people that story, they all sort of look at it like, oh, like that must have hurt. And at the time, that didn't hurt at all. That felt great. I was like, out of anybody he's ever met, out of all the human beings that he's met, I am the most sarcastic. I loved it. I embraced it because we're so desperate to figure out how we fit in that even if an identity that we're given isn't ideal, it still is often something that we're looking to embrace. And in Christ, we've been given an identity that is much richer and much fuller. And so what I want to do with this episode is I want to spend time going through what for some will be a familiar passage in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. I want to go through this and talk about this because this passage gives us three significant competitors to finding our identity in God. And it's all in the context of boasting. What do we boast in? And I think sometimes as Americans in the 21st century, we can feel like that's not really how we talk. But just think of it again. That junior hire was boasting about his identity as the biggest moocher. After my friend had said this to his sister, I went around and at least internally and maybe even externally, I was boasting about being the most sarcastic guy he had ever met. What do we boast in? And he gives three competitors to boasting in the Lord. He says, this is what the Lord says, let not the wise boast of their wisdom. So number one, we can end up finding our identity in our wisdom. Now, this can be intelligence. There's a lot of carryover between wisdom and knowledge. So this could be that if you're in school, that you're somebody that gets great grades, that you get different awards, you know, valedictorian, dean's list, whatever it is. So it can have to do with intelligence in that way, or maybe just intelligence in that you're the person in your group or in your workplace that just knows stuff, that has the ability to bring wisdom to bear on situations. Or it could even be something different. It could be that your wisdom is the idea that you feel like you can sort of talk your way out of any situation or get people on your side in any situation, that you have the ability to do that with your wisdom and with your cleverness. Or it might even be this. There's a whole book of the Bible that's about wisdom, and it's the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs tells us all this great stuff as far as, you know, here's what's going to happen if you work hard, and here's what's going to happen if you use the right words, and here's what's going to happen if you parent your children in a certain way. So you could look through that, and you could look to gain all this wisdom from Proverbs, and you could look to have your identity set. You could look to be set in the idea of, I'm the one who always makes the wise, good choice. I'm the one who works the system that God has set up for us. In the book of Proverbs, I always do the good, wise thing. The interesting thing, one of the many interesting things about Proverbs, is that Proverbs has what I believe is a complement book to it in the Bible, and that's Ecclesiastes. And here's how the two books broadly, I think, relate to each other. Proverbs gives us wisdom on our best bets. Proverbs says, hey, if you work hard, you're going to get ahead. We all kind of know that what he means is most of the time. If you are gentle with people, they're going to like you more. We all know, yeah, most of the time. This is good, solid wisdom. You're playing the odds. This is what you should do. Ecclesiastes is the book that pokes the holes in all of the different wise sayings and says, yeah, sometimes you work hard and it doesn't get you ahead. Sometimes you're nice to people and they're not nice to you. Sometimes you work really hard to build something up and then you hand it off to somebody else to run it for you and they ruin it all. Sometimes you're the one who, through your wisdom, delivers the city and everybody just moves on and forgets about you. It pokes holes in all of this. And we've all experienced that idea, that the idea of saying, I know I am going to be okay in the world. I know that I matter. I know I'm going to be okay because of my wisdom. Whether it's just raw intelligence that you're relying on, or whether it has to do with the idea that you say, I always know the practical thing to do. I always know the right principle and the right answer. God is making it clear in this passage that will fail you. If that's your identity, that will fail you. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Which, by the way, just as a side note, he's not saying don't be wise. He's saying it's good to be wise, but don't boast in your wisdom. Secondly, he says, or the strong boast in their strength. Now, when we think of this, we can think of this in terms of sort of physical strength, and there can be a part to that, that there can be a sense, even in our sort of very safe culture, of feeling like, I know I'm going to be okay because I'm physically strong, or maybe even because I'm physically healthy, so I know I'm going to be okay, and I take care of myself, and I eat well, and I exercise, and so I know I'm going to be okay in that sense. I think even more broadly, the idea behind this might relate to safety and the idea of saying, because I'm strong, I know I'll be safe. And even more broadly speaking, that this could be a king or this could be somebody saying, I know I'm going to be strong because my city is strong, my nation is strong, my army is strong. And for those of us, especially those of us who live more in the suburbs of the United States, we deal with an expectation of safety and security that's really unparalleled in the world now and throughout human history. I was thinking, obviously, things in Israel right now, in the nation of Israel, are very tense, and they've been tense for a long time. Way back in 1997, I spent a semester of my college life in Israel, and it was just interesting seeing just the different ways that you processed life living there versus living in a more suburban existence in the United States. First of all, everybody spent time in the military. That was just part of life. That was part of what you did. And then there just was not the expectation of safety. There was the expectation that you're going to be on edge, that there's dangers always coming, whether it's dangers from a foreign nation declaring war on you, or whether it's dangers from acts of terror, or just from other internal conflicts, that there was just the daily reality that you're always in a place where danger can strike. Now, we know, even in the United States and even in the suburbs, we're in a state where always danger could strike. That technically could happen. But man, we have not historically dealt with wars on our soil for a long time. So most of us don't live in the regular reality of, hey, at any point we could get bombed. At any point we could get attacked from an enemy. That's not, of all the problems we're thinking about solving, that's usually not high on the list or on our grid at all. And beyond that, for most of us, we live with a level of practical safety from violence in our areas that we don't typically think we need to be ready for violence to break out. In fact, I was thinking there was just not too long ago, there probably within the last couple months, I had a conflict with another guy, and it didn't escalate in a crazy way, but it's like we were both sort of like upset with each other, and he wasn't backing down and I wasn't backing down. And it was interesting afterwards thinking about it to say there was maybe a very low level where I thought, what do I do if this gets physical? But I was 98% sure it wasn't. And it didn't. And it was interesting to me to think about the idea of, like, we were upset and there was a conflict and neither of us was sort of backing away and just sort of making peace with the conflict. And yet we both had the expectation that violence was not going to break out. That's weird. That's not normal. And so I say all this to say it can be very easy for us to take all of that and boast in our strength or say, I know I'm going to be okay because I'm safe. We have a great army protecting us. Typically, we don't deal with attacks on our own soil. When it comes to sort of violence and outbreaks of violence, hey, we've got the police. We have a general society where you don't just break out into violence and break out into fistfights. So there's a lot of reasons why I can say, I know I'm going to be okay, either because of my strength or because of the strength of those I'm associated with, because of the strength of the police force in my city, because of the strength of the army in my country. And once again, we know that at the end of the day, we are all vulnerable. The most healthy person in the world who's taken absolute care of themselves can still end up in a freak accident or can still end up getting diagnosed with a terminal illness. And the safest cities in the world or the safest cities in the country, we're still vulnerable to harm, not just in a bunch of ways as far as car accidents and different accidents, there can still be violence that breaks out anywhere. We're foolish if we boast of our strength, if we know, here's how I know I'm going to be okay, because even if other things are going wrong in my life, I know I'm not in physical danger. We're foolish if we think that. And then there's a third competitor that we see in this passage. He says, or the rich boast of their riches. Now, there are people that in a very literal way just boast about their riches, just boast about how much money they make, and they find their status and they find their significance in the idea that they make a lot of money. So that can be a sort of a naked temptation out there in the way that he's talking about it. That you can say, I know I matter because here's my bottom line, here's my earning, here's my salary, here's how good my business is, and all of that. I think probably for many more of us, it's a little bit more subtle, where it's not simply that we say, I know I'm important because of how much money I make, but it's that I know I'm going to be okay because of how much money I have, because of the possessions that I have, because of where my retirement account is at. Man, I remember a bunch of years ago having a meeting planning for retirement, and I left the meeting feeling like we're not doing enough. Like we need to do more. And they even gave this, they gave this printout, and they were showing like, based on how your saving is going right now, here's the age that you would be where you would run out of money. And even though it was like years and years from now, you know, like decades from now, it was daunting to me to be like, at that age, I'm just going to be out of money. And what am I going to do? I even had the thought being like, well, hopefully I'll be dead by then and I won't have to worry about it. It was a weird thought. And it really did reveal to me how much we can tend to put our security in the idea that we have money. It's not even necessarily, I want to buy a bunch of great stuff. It's just, I know I'm going to be okay because of my wealth. And at the same time, we've had elements over the last few years, and whether it's just the instability of inflation in our country or whether it has to do with different fraud schemes that have happened, we have seen people lose their life savings, lose their retirement, lose their investments because treasures here on earth are vulnerable. Moth and rust destroy them, and thieves break in and steal them. There's nothing wrong with saving for retirement. There's nothing wrong with being wise and saving money and being conservative in that way. But if we start to think, that's why I'm going to be okay, we're on very shaky ground. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the strong man boast in his strength. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. Three big competitors. But then look at what he says. I love where he goes with this. He says, but let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have an understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for in these I delight, declares the Lord. He says, in a basic way, let them boast in the fact that they know me. And you might even say, well, in a more basic way, he's saying, let them boast in me. Let God be my security. The idea that he has promises. I'm not trusting in my own strength. I'm trusting in the strength that God gives. That even if they kill the body, I will be raised up one day because of the resurrection of Jesus. I am going to boast in the resources, when we think of wealth, the resources of God and not my own resources, because he has the ability to provide for me even if everything goes wrong. I'm going to boast in God's wisdom rather than my wisdom. And that wisdom may include that there's a segment of time where I'm going through trials and I'm going through difficulties and things that should have worked for me aren't working for me, but I can trust in the wisdom of God that he's shaping me and refining me and making me even better through those trials, and that he'll never leave me and never forsake me. So I'm going to boast in him about all of that. But I also love that there's an idea here of just, you boast because you know God. You boast not because of what you have, but because of who you know. And sometimes that is a way that we end up boasting. We can end up doing that with our sports teams. Like, hey, I don't care if you have this high of a payroll. I don't care how many wins you have. We have Ohtani. We have Steph Curry. We have Aaron Rodgers, whatever it is, that you boast about who you're with. You boast about who you're associated with. We get to do that with the Lord. We get to say, it doesn't matter how many enemies I have. It doesn't matter how vulnerable I am. I'm with him. And if I'm with him, nothing that could ultimately undo me can undo me, because he is working all things together for my good. And it even goes back to the whole idea that if you follow our podcast episodes, the last episode that I did had to do with Proverbs. Man, we could look at Proverbs and be like, well, I'll just get as wise as I possibly can, and then I'll be invulnerable. And you're not invulnerable. because you even remember the idea of the central theme of Proverbs, which is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge. That we're starting with the idea that our orientation is toward Him, that we're treating Him as the most important reality in the universe, and that because we are doing that, we know where we stand. And we know that if we're with Him, no promises that He makes can ever be thwarted by anybody who would take away our riches, by anybody who would take away our strength, and by anybody who would thwart or undercut our wisdom. Where is your identity found? Or where are you tempted to put it? What is it that you look at and say, this is how I know I matter? Or this is how I know I'll be okay? And then realize that with all competitors, those things that we put our identity in can be stripped away immediately, and we can be left confused. We can be left confused for, what do I do now that my kids are all grown and I don't have the identity of a parent anymore? What do I do now that I'm retired and I don't have the identity of the status of that job anymore? What do I do now that I lost the job? What do I do now that I don't have the income that I used to have? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do if I lose this? We have the Lord, and we boast in the Lord, and we trust in the Lord, and we find our identity in Him. It's not only the right thing for us to do, it's the safest, wisest thing for us to do. If you have feedback on this episode, if you have thoughts, if you have questions, if you have thoughts on other competitors to finding our identity in God and you want to share those, I always love getting to read the different comments on our Christian Contrast podcast episodes. We post all of our episodes on our YouTube channel for Life Bible Fellowship Church. And so if you want to find back episodes because you appreciate the content, you can find episodes there. And if you do leave a comment or a question, I usually go back and look at those and try to interact with anybody that wants to engage in that. You can also find all the episodes of the Christian Contrast on our website, just on lbf.church, and you can find out other information about our church if you're not a member or if you're thinking about potentially becoming a part of our church family here. But thanks so much for taking the time to listen to this. We put out an episode of the Christian Contrast every 2 weeks, so we'll be back in 2 weeks with a brand new episode. Until then, thanks so much for taking the time to listen.